Psalm 127, we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Precious Lord, we thank you for this, your Lord's Day. We thank you for the opportunity that we've had all day to worship you, for the privilege of being able to worship you, the God of the universe. We thank you for the privilege of being able to speak to you, and especially that you speak to us through your word. And we thank you that you spoke to us this morning, and you've come back to speak to us again tonight. And Lord God, but we need you. We need the presence of your Holy Spirit to open up our spiritual ears that we might hear what you have to say to the church. Speak to us tonight, Lord God, about those things that are important to you. Not to us, Lord. We only want to hear about what's important to you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we prepare to study the first two verses of Psalm 127 tonight, it's important to note, in order to understand what we're going to study tonight, we need to note that this psalm was written by Solomon, King Solomon. We sometimes forget that all of the Psalms were not written by David. Usually when you say Psalms, you automatically think of David. But the truth is, two of the Psalms were written by Solomon. 11 were written by Asaph. 12 were written by a group of men who were called the Sons of Korah. One was written by Ethan, and one was written by Moses. This psalm was written by Solomon. As I read this psalm, I noted the word vain. The word vain occurs three times in these two verses. Now, when a word is repeated in the Bible, especially three times in two verses, the Word of God is signaling to us that that word is important. The word vain means unproductive or worthless. It means it doesn't count. And putting it in the context in which Solomon wrote it, we can correctly say that he is talking about things that don't count with God. That's the title of the message tonight. It doesn't count with God. What kind of activities is Solomon referring to that don't count with God? Well, he's talking about all of those things we do, all of the ventures, all of the projects, all of the activities of life, all the busyness that we have, that in God's eyes are worthless. He's referring to all those things on which we spend so much energy, so much time, so much effort, those things that we pour ourselves into, and all the time that we're giving so much of ourselves to these ventures, the truth is they're really not important. They don't count with God. There are only three things in life that you can spend. You can spend money, you can spend time, and you can spend energy. Now, there are some people, although not too many, who have an unlimited supply of money. I doubt if anybody here tonight would fall into that classification, but there are people in the world who have an unlimited supply of money. Now, in that respect, money is different from time and energy, because while it's not so probable, it is possible for money to be unlimited. But time and energy is what I want to focus on here right now, because time and energy always has limits. I said time and energy has limits. Now, if you are here tonight and you're younger, if you're 18, 19, 20, 25, maybe even 30, 35 years old, you don't think about your time and your energy running out. You kind of think that you have an unlimited supply of time and energy. But believe me, the older you get, the truth, the realization begins to settle in. I don't consider myself to be an old person, but even at 38, even at 58 years old, I've begun to feel some limitations. For example, when I play basketball with the kids now, maybe just 2-3 times a game will I dunk the ball. My golf drives are cut down to about 280, 290. And so you begin to get limitations in life. In all seriousness, you hit 50 and you begin to move over that 50 mark and you look at things differently. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You begin measuring your life from the end rather than the beginning. You start to ask yourself, I wonder how much time I have left. Now, young people don't ask themselves that question, but the older you get, you begin to see the limitations of time and energy. I'm going to tell you what, time goes by quickly. And what God's Word is asking us tonight is this: how are we spending that precious time? And how are we spending that precious energy? See, we spend that time and energy on so many worthless things. Things that don't have eternal consequences. I've been on a Cleveland Browns kick for a couple of weeks, ever since Pastor, it's all Pastor Kajemi's fault. He got me going during the Festival of Glory last week when he talked about that guy who was interviewed and said that he couldn't sleep for 3 nights waiting for the Browns to come out. That guy is absolutely, his elevator doesn't go all the way to the top. Not Pastor Kajemi, the guy who was interviewed. Well, Pastor Kajemi a little bit too. But I mean, losing sleep over the Cleveland. I watched the Browns last night, and at the end of the game, and I saw all those people there in the stands, and doing all. And I was thinking, it was over for them. When it was over. When the final second was used up, they didn't have any purpose for living last night. I mean, some of them were so drunk they didn't even know if they were living. But it was over. There was no purpose. See, the only thing they have to look forward to is the next game. You see, isn't that sad? But I need to ask all of us tonight, does the way you're spending your life count with God? Or is it vain? It counts if you're living your life under the will and control of God. It counts if your priorities are God's priorities. But if you're spending your days on activities in which God has no interest, If you're spending most of your time on energy using up energies on things that really don't matter, then you're living your life in vain, because those things don't count with God. Unless the Lord builds the house. Now, notice something here. The issue isn't whether the house gets built or not. Now, that's important. The issue is not whether the house gets built. Maybe the house does get built. But if God's plan and God's purpose wasn't involved in the building of the house, then so what if it gets built? The house might get built, but it doesn't count with God. The only time it counts with God is if God wants the house built, because somehow it fits into His eternal plan and His eternal purpose. See, the question shouldn't be, is my business prospering? Is my business thriving? The question should be, is my business being run under the Lord's direction for His honor and for His glory? The question shouldn't be, am I making it in life? See, I mean, what does that mean? Yeah, he really made it in life. You can look at somebody like Gates from Microsoft. Somebody said, man, he's really made it. Now, I don't even know anything about him, so I mean, I don't know where he stands with God. But see, if he doesn't know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and if his purpose for living is not the glory of God, I don't care if he has a house as big as, well, I guess it's bigger than Stamble Auditorium. It doesn't count with God. It doesn't count. It's vain. It means nothing. See, the question shouldn't be, am I going to get accepted at this college or this university? Because if God isn't in it, it doesn't even matter. Everything we do in order to be pleasing to God has to have eternal consequences. It somehow has to fit in to God's plan of eternity. Maybe you're a business or professional person tonight. Think about how you're spending your life. Sometimes I'll hear Christians say, oh man, yeah, you get up, you go to work, you come home, you eat, you read the newspaper, go to bed, get up, go to work, come home, read the newspaper, watch a little TV, go to bed. Listen, you're missing it. You're missing it. You're acting just like an unsaved person would act. Unless you get up and you go to work, and that place of work is your mission field. And it's not like, oh yeah, I got to go out to the plant today, or I got to go to the office today, just kind of hanging out. No. If you're there, then God's got you there for a purpose. That's your mission field. That's where you need to let your light shine. That's where you need to be salt and light. And that gives meaning and that gives purpose. Are you using the gifts that God has given you? In your job, in your relationships, in your school, in your neighborhood. It's absolutely amazing. I heard somebody on the radio the other day describing Bill Gates' home. He's got 44 garages. Yeah. Or he's got a garage that fits 44 cars. Imagine that? Looks like my driveway. But can you imagine that? Now, there would absolutely be nothing wrong with that if he was using that home for the glory of God. See, but just to have this immense place, to have this immense place because he can afford it, is vain. It doesn't count with God. Now, there are believers who fall into that same trap. Their purpose in life is to make it, to become successful, to accumulate as much money and things as they can. If you ask them, why are you doing that? Well, I'm saving up for my retirement. What do you mean you're saving up for your retirement? You know, I'm 58. Lynn and I, obviously, and we've talked about, you know, what am I going to do someday if, you know, if I get too old to get pushed up here behind the pulpit or something. You know, all I want to do somehow, whatever I'm doing at 70 or 80 years, whatever I'm doing, I want somehow to be affecting the kingdom of God. So you just don't, you know, build a nest egg so that you can, you know, go out and live on a golf course and play golf every day, unless somehow that fits into God's will. Unless your mission field is that golf course. But not just to go out and do it because you think somehow you deserve it. Am I making any sense? That's how you buy a home. That's how you build a church. Everything we did in this church, everything we did, we asked ourselves, is that what God would want? And why would He want it? Why would He want it? A simple thing like slanting the pews, because we wanted to make sure if somebody's sitting in the back and they're having to go like this here, see, they're missing the Word of God. Now, if you're looking right at what's happening here, you see, your heart can be touched. Thousands and thousands of dollars built in that platform and underneath that platform, all for a purpose. Asking ourselves, how does that fit into God's plan for that church? Not just to build a sanctuary, to build a sanctuary. Now, we should do that with absolutely everything we do in life. I quoted this morning, Paul, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything. There is nothing. Say, well, that's not important. No, it is important. Everything you do is to be done for the glory of God. And if it's not for the glory of God, if it's not giving God glory, it doesn't count with God. It's vain. It's worthless. Now, if that sounds rather hopeless to you, that's exactly how Solomon wanted it to sound in the first part of this psalm. That's why he uses the word vain over and over. Vain is kind of a negative word. He's definitely trying to communicate the truth that if God isn't in what we do, it doesn't count. But right at the end of verse 2, Solomon gives us a divine contrast that's based on a solid biblical principle. And that is that when God isn't in what we do, it's vain. But when God is involved, there is always a blessing that occurs. Notice, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For He gives to His beloved even in his sleep. Now follow me carefully here because this is very important. God had a special name for Solomon. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, after David and Bathsheba had Solomon, God sent the prophet Nathan to see the baby. And He told Nathan to give Solomon another name. And God was the only one who called Solomon by this name. It was the name Jedediah. That was God's pet name for Solomon. Jedediah. Now guess what Jedediah means in Hebrew. It means beloved of the Lord. Beloved of the Lord. Now look what Solomon writes. For He gives to His beloved, even in his sleep. He gives to his Jedidiah, even in his sleep. Solomon here in this psalm is talking about himself. Now hang on to that thought. He gives to his beloved, to his Jedidiah, even in his sleep. Hold that thought and turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to show you something special here. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. In Gibeon, in a dream, at night, and God said, ask what you wish me to give you. Now, when you think of Solomon, what's the first word you think of? What? Wisdom. The wisdom of Solomon. God spoke to Solomon in a dream at night. And he said to Solomon, ask what you wish me to give you. Now we know, as we studied Solomon, that Solomon asked for wisdom. But as you study Solomon's story, you discover that he didn't ask for the wisdom for himself. He didn't ask for wisdom so he could become successful, so he could become rich or famous. He wanted wisdom so that he could be a godly leader and teach his subjects good from evil. Now look over, stay there in 1 Kings 3 and jump down to verse 13. Actually verse 12. 1 Kings 3:12. God says to Solomon, behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before, nor shall one like you arise after you. God gave Solomon what he asked for. He gave him wisdom. Verse 13, and I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any kings like you all your days. Now here's the principle. Because God's interest was at the heart of what Solomon requested, not only did God give him the wisdom he asked for, but he also gave him the added blessing of riches and honor. Now remember, we said that Solomon's trying to teach us a great principle in Psalm 127. When God isn't in what you do, it's in vain. It doesn't count with God. But when God is in what you do, there is a natural blessing that occurs. See, there are people, Christians, whose whole purpose in living, which makes their whole purpose every day to make sure they're happy. And that's their goal. To try to be happy. If that's your goal, you're wrong. That doesn't count with God. A believer's goal should be to serve God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Your goal should be to be light and salt to the unsaved world. Your goal should be to give God glory. When that becomes the goal, there is a blessing that's attached. It's called happiness. See, we get it backwards. We seek happiness, and God says it doesn't count. God says, no, seek me and my glory, and you'll have the happiness that you wanted in the first place. We get it backwards. That's why it's not about us. It's about Him. He'll take care of you. This is what Solomon meant in Psalm 127 when he says, "For He gives to His beloved, He gives to His Jedidiah, even in His sleep." When God is at the center of your life, you could be in bed sleeping, and God is taking care of you. He is watching out after you. You don't have to go out and try to work for the blessings that you want. You don't have to go out and seek to be happy. All you need to do is make sure that God is at the center of your life. See, is ask yourself truthfully in your heart tonight. Please ask yourself, is your reason for living your own happiness? Or is your reason for living, is it to be a servant of God? What's your reason for living? So we need to come face to face with those tough questions. And we need to be honest. And if you say, well, yeah, my reason for living is to be a servant of God. Some of you are actually trying to block that question out. You're trying not to answer it. You're trying to befuddle your thoughts right at this moment. Face it, square up, look at that question in the eye and answer it. And if you answer, okay, my reason for living is to be a servant of God, then ask yourself, how am I doing that? And then you'll know whether you're being honest to yourself or not. We lie to ourselves better than we lie to anybody. Now, if your reason for living is anything but to give glory to God, it doesn't count with God. Whatever other reason there is, it doesn't count with God. See, some parents will say, well, I live for my kids. That doesn't count with God. What do you mean? How can not living for my kids not count with God? Because live to give God glory. And He'll take care of your kids even in their sleep. I've got news for you. He can watch over your kids better than you can. The Christian church today is so selfish it smells. Let me show you one more passage that shows how the Lord blesses His beloved. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 33. 33 verse 12. Of Benjamin he said, may the, there it is again, the beloved of the Lord, it's Jedidiah again, may the beloved of the Lord dwell in security by Him who shields him all the day. Now he's already told Solomon he's going to watch over him all the night. Now he's saying in Deuteronomy he'll also watch his beloved all the day. So we got day and night. You can't uncover any more than that. And here's what we want. And he dwells between his shoulders. The beloved of the Lord dwells between his shoulders. Do you ever see a parade and the people standing along the sides, and almost in every parade, and maybe you were that daddy one day, or maybe you still are, and there's a daddy standing there and he's got his little boy or little girl up on the back of his neck so he can see above the crowd. And you know where that little child is? He is between his shoulders. And that daddy picks the child up and puts the child between his shoulders. And when you're the beloved of the Lord, and you're living life for God, do you know why we don't live life for God? You know why we get so caught up in the daily affairs of life and we forget about the Lord and living like Christians? Because we think we have to do it. God says, what you have to do is live your life for me. And when you're living your life for me, I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to put you on your Father's shoulders. And I'm going to carry you piggyback through life. See, He becomes your source, your strength, your guide, your all in all. I read several years ago an interesting description of the sensation you get while riding in a hot air balloon. It said that while you're in that basket, you're moving through the sky, that the sensation you have is complete silence and complete stillness. Now, you would think you're up there and the wind's going to be blowing in your face. You know, you're in that little basket and it's just the opposite. When you look down, it looks like the land under you is moving and like you're standing still. And there is no wind in your face. And there's no noise. Now, there's a simple explanation for that. It's people that fly in hot air balloons don't drive into the wind. They move with the wind. With the wind. They are literally being carried by the wind. And there's no stress. There's no anxiety. There's no force beating against you. That's how life can be when our priorities are in line with God. It can be like that when you're living by God's agenda and not your own. The beloved of the Lord are carried on the winds of God. In the Greek classic, The Odyssey, written by Homer, there's a story of a man named Sisyphus. Sisyphus is pictured in eternity. In eternity, every minute of every hour of every day, he's doing one thing. He's rolling a huge stone up a hill. That's all he ever does. And when he gets to the top of the hill, he rolls it down and he starts all over again. And he rolls the stone up the hill again. Now, Sisyphus is working very hard at a pointless, meaningless task that doesn't count. It doesn't count. When I hear about him, it's such a sad, sad person. Do you know what's even sadder? In real life, even in the church, that's what many are doing. Struggling day in, day out, trying to accomplish things that have no eternal value. All of that effort, all of that time, all of that energy being spent on things that don't even count with God. I'm asking you tonight from the bottom of my heart, I am begging you to look at your life. See, I'm not saying your job doesn't count with God or whatever project you're... I'm not saying that doesn't count with God. I'm saying if it doesn't somehow fit into God's eternal plan, then it doesn't count. So you need to look at it. And you need to see, how can I make it count? What is my purpose for going to work tomorrow? If your purpose for going to work tomorrow is so you could pick up a paycheck next Friday, that doesn't count with God. If your purpose for going to school in a couple weeks is so that in a year or so you can get a degree, that doesn't count with God. This hardly applies to the people in church tonight. I'm speaking to the choir. But so many who were here this morning, their purpose in coming to church was to make their Sunday obligation. That doesn't count with God. If you came tonight because, well, I didn't get here this morning, so I better go tonight, that doesn't count with God. Unless your purpose was coming to worship God with all of your heart and soul. And you weren't just always looking at your watch and, I hope pastor doesn't preach too long. And, I'm glad I missed those comments on tithing this morning. I don't have to listen to that at night. And, that doesn't count with God. So I'm begging you, take a look at your life. I have a lot of things that I have to get squared away in my own life. Believe me, I'm far, far. Like Paul, who said, well, I'm not even like Paul, but Paul said, I am not perfect. I have not attained it. But like Paul, I can say, but I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. But there are some things that I'm getting right. And living my life for the glory of God is one of them. When I get up in the morning, I don't open my eyes and say, oh boy, here's another day. What do I have to do today? I open my eyes and say, praise God, Lord. How are you going to use me today? What can I do for your glory today? How can I live to magnify you? And I know if I set out my day with that purpose, my day counts with God. As we begin to close in worship, we can spend a little time in worship here. I'm going to ask that in the midst of your worship, that you begin to make whatever adjustments need to be made. Whatever adjustments. Whether it's at work, at school, in relationships, your social life, whatever adjustments need to be made between you and God tonight. I have some adjustments that have to be made. In the next several moments, I'm gonna go to God. And in the midst of worshiping Him, I'm going to picture that God is going to pick His beloved up and just put me on His shoulders. And I'm going to tell God, God, that's where I want to stay. I want to stay on Daddy's shoulders. I want You to be my priority, God. I want You to be my life, my purpose for living. Help me to be salt and light. I shudder to think that I might do anything. If I would go out and work hard all day tomorrow and then find out at the end of the day that what I did didn't even count with God, it would break my heart. Together, let's begin to worship Him and just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. However God would have you worship, if you want to come down front tonight, that's fine. Just whatever God would have you do, let's follow His leading. Help us to